In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Words from Psalm 118 that we use here in this octave of Easter. These 8 days from Easter Sunday to Divine Mercy inclusive, in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if one day is just simply not enough. And so we use these days of joy to strive to deepen our friendship with Christ, the risen Christ, the one who saves us. As St. Paul reminds us, but without the resurrection, we are those to be most pitied. But Lord, we believe in the resurrection. We believe that you have overcome death and that you offer life to us in our daily lives. St. Jose Maria would say, we discover the invisible God in the most visible and material things. And these days of Easter should ring true in that regard, that the Lord who is risen, who has overcome death, is with us now as we go about our daily work, our relationships, our joys, and our sorrows. Just because it's Easter season doesn't mean that the cross disappears in our lives. The Lord is with us. I think we can benefit from considering the three different persons or groups of persons that encounter the risen Christ. We've seen them, if you will, in the liturgy of this week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the Mass of each of those days. We have different persons that encounter Christ, the risen Christ. The first one on Monday, we had the Gospel, which describes Mary Magdalene going to the tomb and meeting Christ. She thinks he's a gardener, doesn't reveal himself immediately. She thinks he's the gardener. And they have the conversation. And then on Wednesday, with the Gospel of Luke, we had the account of those two disciples on their way to Emmaus. Cleopas is the name of one of them, Cleopas. And they have that conversation with Jesus. And they also do not recognize him with that first encounter, the beginning of that encounter. And then today, Friday, the Gospel we have from John. It was the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the apostles after the resurrection. Seven of them have been fishing all night. And of course, Peter, one of them. And the Lord appears to them on the shore. And there too, they do not know that it is him at first. He tells them to put out to the right side of the boat their nets, and they have that great catch. And then they recognize him. But what can we learn from these encounters that these friends of Jesus had? Well, maybe, for one, sometimes we don't recognize Jesus is right there with us. When we go about our everyday lives, when we try to work well, when we meet people, when we are alone, have a bit of free time, when we're trying to fall asleep, when we're going through some ailment or just some difficult moment in your studies or with work. Well, Jesus is with us. He promised us, I'll be with you always to the end of the ages. And he's true to his word, always. Now, of course, he said that right before the ascension, which will come 40 days after the resurrection. But I guess we could say it's true always for us now too. Jesus has said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And let's remember that in a special way in his presence in the Eucharist. Here we are in this beautiful oratory here in Manhattan, in the presence of our Lord Jesus in the Eucharist, his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity. How blessed we are. How much he loves us to stay with us always. As he promised, I will be with you always. This is one of the ways, a very beautiful sacramental way in which Jesus, God, is with us. He truly is Emmanuel, always God with us. Let's thank him for that and try to appreciate that to the extent possible, to perhaps make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament in the flow of our day. Even better, if possible, to attend Mass, a great encounter with Christ. St. Josemaria would even encourage us to storm tabernacles as we go about our daily work. We can say hello to our Lord as we perhaps pass by a Catholic church. Here in New York City, a lot of Catholic churches around, and not that we're going to stop and go into pray a bit in each one, but at least I would say greet our Lord who's there in that tabernacle, there in that church. Someone mentioned they had some time on Easter Sunday to get up to the Met just to see some of the art there. And he wanted to focus on the Christian art, on you know, being Easter. I went to the section of the Italian and also some Dutch Renaissance artists there that were shown, and beautiful examples of Christian life, really. And it helped them to pray. Perhaps many of you have been there to the Met to see some of these masterpieces. Well, he returned home, and later on he had the opportunity to be in a solemn benediction in honor of our Lord, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. And he said it struck him. Later he would say it struck him that, well, wow, here he is. Here's Jesus right here with me right now. 15 feet away. Yes, the art, seeing the art there in the Met was wonderful, and he helped him to pray, raise his heart to God, appreciate the great talent that those artists put to work to help us to get close to God in a way. But in the benediction, it's the Lord right there present. And here we are, my brother, present with the Lord in the tabernacle, the same Jesus who rose from the dead. He's right here with us in this way. Thank you, Lord. Jesu, Jesu, esto semper mihi Jesu. Jesus, Jesus. Always be Jesus for me. And so do I have that sense, that need of going to Jesus? And then again, that's what we see in a way with these people who encounter Christ in the liturgy this week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news of his disciples. Mary had seen him. She encountered Jesus. At first, again, she thought he was the gardener. But when he says her name, that's when she recognizes it is the Lord, Rabbi Jesus. And he calls her by name, Mary. And then she hears him. Jesus speaks to her personally. He calls her by her name, Mary. And she goes toward him. And he says, not yet. Do not touch me. I must go to the Father. But go. Go tell my followers. Tell the apostles. I'm risen. Come to me. And they will. They will encounter the Lord. That night, the night of the resurrection. Thomas is not there, of course, but they will encounter the risen Lord that night in the upper room. But again, the attitude of Mary Magdalene, she goes to the tomb. There's a big stone in front of the tomb. She knows that, but she goes. Her faith takes her there. As a bishop said once in one of his homilies, Mary Magdalene was saying, I need to be with my Jesus. And so she goes. With faith. And we can say her faith is rewarded. The stone has been rolled away. She looks in at the tomb and she says, "Was the gardener? Oh, if you've taken him, tell me and I will get him. I'll take him." Mary. And she meets the Lord. Let's imitate that faith of Mary Magdalene. And maybe in a special way, the Lord has allowed Mary Magdalene to be the first to encounter him Because of her past, we can relate to Mary Magdalene. She had seven demons cast from her. We don't know her sins, but something must have been going on, very negative, very dark in her life. And it's depicted wonderfully in that series, The Chosen. Mary Magdalene, she's ready to end her own life. She's so low, so life is so dark, she's so lonely. But then she has an encounter with Christ, Jesus, who is mercy, and she is healed by Jesus. The demons are cast from her. She becomes a follower. She becomes a saint. And we can hopefully learn from Mary, that despite our own sins, we all have our sins. Let's allow the Lord to heal us. And again, a special way, remember that on Sunday, this coming Sunday, divine mercy, how merciful the Lord is. He invites us to repent. Mercy is not just a cheap gift, a piece of candy given out. No, the Lord invites us to his sacred heart, to his merciful heart, if we want, if we repent, if we recognize our sins and say, Lord, help me, I do want to be purified. And we'll see that in the third encounter of people in the case of Peter. But again, let's learn from Mary Magdalene. And then secondly, from these two disciples who are on their way to Emmaus. Now, Emmaus is 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And they will end up, after meeting the Lord and recognizing the Lord, they will end up back in Jerusalem. A bit of work. I think in this sense, we can look at those disciples who are going along their way and learn from them that it'll take effort on our part to encounter Christ. We have to go. We have to be moving. That's that very day, the first day of the week, St. Luke recounts, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? It's nice how Jesus lets them speak. What are you guys talking about? He doesn't come with a certain, I don't know, overpowering, dogmatic explanation of things. But he's just, what are you talking about? What are you discussing as you walk along? They stopped, looking downcast. Interesting here. St. Luke points out that these disciples are downcast. They're followers of Christ, and yet they're downcast. And he's okay, they've been talking about the crucifixion, it sounds like, what these things that have happened recently. So at first reading, we might think, they knew that Jesus was crucified. But no, they already know that news has been spreading that he has risen. That Mary Magdalene has spoken about this. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. And so they know, they've heard this, and yet they looked downcast. My brother, how's my faith? Yes, we see difficulties in the world, in the church, in our families, in our communities, in our own soul. Yes, we see that. But we should not be downcast. Jesus is risen. He is my Savior. He is my hope. Jesus, I trust in you. And that's the Christian way. And he's there for us with his mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If we go to him with humility, he'll accept that, of course. A contrite and humble heart the Lord will not despise. And that's why we can sing, really, every day, Psalm 118. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, me personally, subjectively, today is my day. Jesus loves me. So no matter what has happened today, whatever crosses I've made, may have had to bear, or any sins I've committed, I go, Jesus, I approach you. I need you. I want you. Thank you. Today's the day, Lord. And I don't need to be downcast. And our Lord, even he scolds these two disciples a bit for being slow to believe. Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? How good Jesus is. He reminds us, don't worry, when suffering occurs, the cross is there. That's all part of the plan. And so, Lord, we remain close to you. We walk with you along within our daily lives, making the effort that it takes to encounter you. And of course, these two disciples, their hearts would be glad. In fact, they even said later, after the Lord vanished from their sight at the breaking of the bread, and they recognized it was him, then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way? Something was happening in their soul. Without realizing it, without realizing Jesus was with them, their hearts were burning. There's something good going on there. And so we too, Lord, want to be aware of the warmth, the love that you offer us, even though we might feel downcast a bit. Hope. God always gives us hope. We said, let the people see the reason for the hope that is in you. But we have to make the effort to see him. Do I take time to pray, to try to make a visit, to get to Mass, pray the rosary, whatever what we find helpful to approach God, but we can't just sort of, I don't know, sit back and fall into certain mediocrity or a certain laziness almost, or complacency. You know, like the Lord invites us to come to me, he says. All you who labor and are burdened with life, come to me. Move. And we can't, Lord. We want to move. And the Divine Comedy by Dante, in of course, he enters first into Inferno, to hell, Virgil. And there, people are stuck. They cannot move. They're buried up to their necks in the ground, or they're in a tomb, and they can't get out of the tomb, fired, or they're encased in ice. They can't move. Souls in hell cannot move. But then he gets to purgatory, and there, it's all about movement. The souls are moving, and they're going up that mountain, and they're making their penance. They realize they have to purify themselves. They're moving. And that's a good thing. The good of purgatory is that they know that they're saved. They someday will be in heaven forever with God. So that we have that hope. And we should move. And that will require us, really, to try to sanctify our ordinary work, to live charity with those around us, to be willing to serve. Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. And we'll have to move to a Mass on Sunday as a minimal of sorts. I mean, we have to live that commandment. God deserves our worship. And we need not restrict it to Sunday. I celebrate Mass sometimes up on the Upper East Side. I go up Third Avenue, and there must be a really good bagel shop on Third Avenue about 50th Street. I notice, going by there, that there's sometimes a line outside of the shop on the sidewalk, like half a block. And this is what, 7:50 on a Sunday morning? Those bagels must be really good, because people are waiting a long time to get to those bagels. Man, great. And I hope that they also make time to worship God, you know, and we'll get to Mass, you know, a little bit later. You know, there on Sunday, hopefully. Right? What are my priorities? Do I really want to seek out the Lord? Do I make an effort to be with Him? And this third encounter, this group, there we have the apostles, the seven apostles from John's chapter 21. Again, this is the third time Jesus revealed Himself to them. The first time, of course, the very night of the resurrection in the upper room. 8 days later, again, in the upper room, Thomas, this time he was there. And then the third time, Jesus revealed Himself again to His disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed Himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, named some of the apostles. There are a group of seven of them, symbol of fullness. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." That's their work. They're fishermen. They go out to work. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I just think how frustrating that is for fishermen to catch nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So once again, our Lord doesn't reveal Himself. And for whatever reason, these apostles listened to this man. So He said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garments, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. Here too, we receive wonderful lessons from the apostles in the scene. A certain obedience, I suppose, the Lord is asking things of us. Like at the wedding of Cana, Mary said to those servants, "Do whatever He tells you." And they filled those jars to the brim with water. And then Jesus performed the miracle, turning the water into wine. So let's be attentive and be ready to do whatever He tells us. And then it is John who recognizes that it is the Lord. And of course, this is from the Gospel of St. John, and he never names himself. He just simply says, "So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" And the commentary on this the church fathers have given us is, "Ubi amor, ubi oculis." Where there is love, there is vision, not eyesight. John, the one whom Jesus loved, John, who writes to us in his epistles about love, God is love, God has loved us. God so loved the world, He sent His only Son, He says in His gospel. But John is, the theme of John is love, God is love. He's the one who recognizes the Lord. He's the one who says, "It is the Lord." So I think what our Lord is asking of us here, teaching us, love. If we want to really see Him, we need to love. And take care of our neighbor. Don't be wrapped up in our own world, little world, our narcissistic world. Try to love. Be ready to serve. Like Mother Teresa, she could see Christ in those people that she was serving, the poorest of the poor. And we too, the people around us. We don't have to go to Calcutta to find Christ. We need to find Christ right in our milieu, in your classes, and your friends, your roommates. You know, let Christ be there. And then the example of Peter. When Simon Peter heard this, that it was the Lord, he tucked his garments where he was lightly clad and jumped into the sea. Now we might think, oh, he's hiding maybe. He's embarrassed because remember, earlier, in the Passion, he denied the Lord. I don't know him. So no, if that's the Lord, I don't want to be around him. I feel I'm embarrassed because I denied. No, he's the one who arrives to the shore first. The boat is so heavy laden with fish, Peter, he gets to the shore. And you know, there on the shore, St. John points out, there's that charcoal fire. There's only two times in scripture that a charcoal fire is mentioned. Here, Peter encounters Jesus on the shore joyfully. And the other time, the night of the Passion in the courtyard. They're gathering around a charcoal fire. That's when people started to say, "Hey, you're one of his followers." And Peter denies it vehemently three times. "I know, I don't know him." A beautiful depiction of that by Caravaggio at the denial of Saint Peter. So it's almost as if maybe the Lord is revealing to us through Scripture. Okay, we all have there are charcoal fires in our life. And sometimes we deny our Lord, perhaps. Sometimes, hopefully, we run to him and warm ourselves up with peace, with prayer, with trust, and yes, with the cross, with courage, with fortitude. And he deserves it. Our Lord deserves it. We should end our time of prayer here, but I think it is one of the point to consider the attitude of Peter. And John, now in the first reading today, it was from the Acts of the Apostles. So this is even after the third time our Lord appeared to them. The leaders of the synagogue, or the elders, the leaders, the scribes, were basically telling John, St. John and St. Peter to be quiet about this Jesus. You know, stirring things up. People are actually believing in this Jesus, and they don't want that. It's almost as if Peter and John, well, Jesus was cutting in on their turf. And what's the reaction of Peter? They even take him in and hold him out, hold him overnight. And they say, they question them, "By what power, or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and those gifts of the Holy Spirit, including fortitude, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple," it cured it. Crippled through Jesus' power, they cured a cripple, "namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed." Peter's just doubling down. It's Jesus Christ. This is all about Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. And it might have been somewhat intimidating. I mean, they'd already put him in jail overnight, and his leaders and scribes and the official police and all that. But he's Jesus Christ. "I speak in the name of Jesus Christ." Judge Antonin Scalia, who passed away some years ago, in giving a commencement speech, he said to the students there, "Be fools for Christ. God assumed from the beginning that the wise of the world would view Christians as fools. And he has not been disappointed." And St. Paul saw that. He writes to the Corinthians, "We preach Jesus Christ, Christ crucified. To the Jews, it's scandal. To the pagans, it's foolishness. But for believers, for us, it's the power and the wisdom of God. Christ crucified. Because he'll rise from the dead. The resurrection is truth." Anyway, Judge Scalia said, "If I've brought any message today, it is this. Have the courage to have your wisdom regarded as stupidity. Be fools for Christ, and have the courage to suffer the contempt of the sophisticated world." Wow, that's some powerful words coming from a man who's quite sophisticated. He'd fit right into that world. He's a fool for Christ first. He's a believer first. And then that's what Christ is asking of us. That's the way St. Peter and St. John lived there. Ultimately, they would die for the Lord. St. Paul would die for the Lord. St. John the Baptist earlier died for the Lord. Let's be fools for Christ with peace and joy. It's not a matter we're trying to, you know, be rebel rousers in the wrong way, but just with the naturalness. I believe in God. I mean, If you do, I believe in God. People, our friends should know that. And we try to live accordingly, sinners that we are. And we need divine mercy. But we'll try. Lord, we want to be, yes, fools for you, Jesus. Saint Josemaria said, "Don't imitate me in anything. I'm just a madman, I'm just a sinner, madly in love with Jesus Christ." Well, he was quite a saint. Let's strive to live that way with great joy. Indeed, we have every reason to do so. Jesus has overcome death. And therefore, it is proper that we live, that we sing. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our Blessed Mother will be right there with us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me as meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.